Good morning. Welcome. This is Ephesus Baptist Church. It's God's house, the house He's provided for us to come and to worship and to praise Him. And I ask, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Amen indeed. Here are words which are not heard often in evangelistic witnessing. When someone is witnessing to another about Jesus, I don't think we'll often hear the words, God loves you and He has a difficult and painful life for you to live. But this is what Jesus said in our text today, which is found in John, the 15th chapter, verses 18 through 27. And I invite you to follow along in your Bible as I read John 15, 18 through 27. This is Jesus speaking to His disciples. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belonged to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. This is why the world hates you. Remember the words I spoke to you, no servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. Now, however, they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father as well. If I had not done among them what no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen these miracles, and yet they have hated both me and my Father. But this is to fulfill what is written in their law. They hated me without reason. When the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of the truth who goes out from the Father, He will testify about me, and you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. May God add His blessing to our reading, our hearing, and our studying of His Word. Jesus' command to love one another is tempered with reality. And it's a harsh reality. Loving others is never going to be a walk in the park. Now, I'm not talking about us receiving what we deserve. Hopefully, we understand when we are ridiculed and persecuted or hated for a valid reason, that there is a reason. But what bugs most of us is when we are shunned and hated for no reason at all. And such is what Jesus promises us as His followers. We shall be persecuted and or hated for no reason other than being identified as children of His. In his book, The Heavenly Man, Brother Jung from China tells about the Back to Jerusalem movement, which built a mission, a Christian mission in China in 1921. And the mission has a five-word mission statement. And that mission statement is sacrifice, abandonment, poverty, suffering, and death. Let those words sink in. This is the mission statement of a Christian mission. They certainly do not appeal to Western churches, and we would not think of sending out a mass mailing to launch a new church with that being the mission statement for the church. How many of us would even support a church with such a mission statement? But Back to Jerusalem movement is a legend in China. It has many churches and is probably the most persecuted church in the world. But a few years ago, the Sinian Fellowship in China, which supported the and was a part of the Back to Jerusalem movement, prayed about their involvement in the movement. And they decided that it would be their sole mission in life to train missionaries to send across the continent. They would travel through the most unchurched areas on this earth. Cambodia, Vietnam, Thailand, and India. And here is the training that these missionaries are to receive. One had to suffer and die for the Lord. These missionaries are required to read and examine those passages of the Bible which deal with suffering for God and how the Lord's people have died and given their life for the advancement of the gospel through their ministry. Second, had to witness for the Lord. These missionaries are taught how to be witnesses for the Lord under any circumstances, whether it be on trains or buses or even in a police car riding on the way to be executed for their belief in Jesus. And three, they were to train missionaries, and they do train them on how to escape for the Lord. These people in the movement know that sometimes it's the Lord who sends us to prison to witness for Him. But they also know sometimes it's the devil who is glad when we are sent to prison so that we will stop doing the job on the outside that God had called us to do. And they teach these missionaries special skills such as escaping out of handcuffs and how to jump out of second-story windows and land without injuring themselves. Sacrifice, abandonment, poverty, suffering, and death. This certainly doesn't sound like a typical Bible college or seminary with which any of us are familiar. They just don't have that type of mission statement, that type of devotion to serving the Lord. But Jesus tells us in our text, remember the words I spoke to you, no servant is greater than the master. Now, when did Jesus tell this to the disciples? Well, of the four Gospels, only the Gospel of John records that during the Last Supper, when we talk about the communion and how Jesus ordained that we use the bread and the cup to remember His death, John tells us that also at that meal, Jesus washed the feet of His disciples. And when He had finished, He said, "Do you understand what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I am your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash the feet of another. I have set an example for you that you should do as I have done. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. So as he was preparing the disciples for his impending arrest and conviction and crucifixion, he tells them that the servant is never greater than the master. So we can pray all we want to God about blessing us with a better job, a healthier life, a longer life. We can ask him to make us prosper and make our life easy and carefree and filled with happiness. There's nothing wrong with that. But we also must not forget the fact that he never promised a rose garden. You know, even though gold sells for $1,359 an ounce here on earth, it's merely used as pavement material in heaven. We have other things to worry about in doing our job and witnessing here. And don't be seduced by the appearance of others. There are two types of people in the world, those who will obey and those who will not obey. And the question is, obey what? And that what is the great command to love God with all our strength and with all our heart and soul, and to love each other as we love ourselves? And those who do not obey this command are our enemies. Regardless of their appearance, regardless of the words that come out of their mouth, they are our enemies and they will hurt us, and we can expect that to occur sooner or later. We have never felt persecution and hatred from the world like some of us have already from the church, and some of us will. Who were those who hated Jesus? Was it the lost? Was it the sinners? Was it those who were rejected? No. It was the ultra-religious, the movers and the shakers, the powerful and the prosperous. They were the ones who hated Jesus, the leaders in the communities, churches. And why did they hate Jesus? No reason. We look again at our text, and he tells us, if I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. If I had not done anything among them, what no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen these miracles, and yet they have hated both me and my Father. But this is to fulfill what is written in their law. They hated me without reason. And if they hate and persecute Jesus without reason, you can be sure they will hate and do the same to us. Why does the world hate Jesus? Because Jesus calls them to forsake their phony religion, to cause them to be disassociate themselves from the positions of power that they crave. He calls them to identify with a man who hung on a cross and was killed for his beliefs. It's not an appealing invitation that we're given, but it's the only way to eternal life. Truth, the way of Christ is difficult. It can be crushing. It can be very harsh at times. Loving one another is one of the most difficult, or probably the most difficult thing we shall ever do. It takes courage to love others when they hate you. But as children of God, this is what we are instructed to do. We must testify about Jesus. He instructs us that when the counselor comes, I will send him to you from the Father. He will testify about me, and you also must testify for you have been with me from the beginning. Jesus wants us to testify about him, but we don't have to testify alone. The Holy Spirit will be with us as we witness and testify for Christ. Does God sit on the sidelines and shedding tears and wiping our tears because life is harsh for us? No. He's like the drill sergeant that sends us into the wilderness without any mercy, seemingly, in order to make a true follower out of us. After all, he sent Jesus. He had the Holy Spirit take Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. And this was the preparation for Jesus' ministry, not his baptism, but his trial in the desert with Satan. We seem desperate and sometimes fanatical about not blaming God for our trials. We ask, what kind of God would let this happen to his people? Certainly not our God, full of love and full of mercy. But the unpredictable love of God, it amazes us. It seems barbaric at times. Difficulties and sufferings are often God's way of testing us, not in some prankish, cruel way, but to band us together, to keep our cool when things go so completely and unbelievably wrong. God did not spare his only son. He did not coddle Jesus, and he will not spare us, and he will not coddle us. As a result, at the end, we shall be able to stand when all around us collapses. We shall remain faithful when those around us turn their backs on God. We shall shine like stars because that is what God has been up to all along, transforming us into brilliant, shining examples of his grace and his love. Life as a Christian is not for sissies. Yet God tests us and gives us the strength, intelligence, and the resources needed to become his salt and light to this bland and dark world. And as believers, if you are a believer, if you are a child of God, you need to remember that you are going to have those trials and difficulties, that you just don't turn your back and walk away when the going gets tough, that you stand up, that you remember how Peter denied Jesus 3 times and you resolve not to do that. You resolve not to deny him. You resolve to stand up, even though because of doing so you may be hated. You may be ridiculed. You may even suffer consequences at your employment. Or you may suffer consequences of relationships at a social club. You have to remember, you have to stand up. And if you have not accepted Jesus as your Savior, you might think, well, I don't want to. If this is what I have to live, if this is the life I have to live as a follower of Jesus. But also you need to remember that the goal, that the reward we receive at the end of our journey is eternal life in heaven with the Father and the Son. And we invite you to take advantage of that opportunity to make that a reality by accepting Christ this morning as we sing our hymn of invitation, number 502.